19. Manning an Expedition. Miss Hakandottir stood at the prow of a large boat rowed by four soldiers in dark civilian clothing. Her steamship, the Kraken, was anchored out at sea disguised as a large transport. The 21-pounder guns were hidden under canvas, and more than 100 Clockwork Guild soldiers were at the ready below deck. Everyone above deck was dressed as a civilian sailor. There was no point in alarming the Australian authorities at Port Douglas. As the men rowed, she pulled a large leather glove over her metal hand. It had been a long journey from Atticus, the island at the centre of the guild's operations. A few days earlier, the guildmaster had summoned her to his crystal palace and told her to man an expedition to discover this temple. Visser had sent a telegram. He had been forced to abandon the mission. The guild must get a step ahead of the permanent association. They docked, and Miss Hakandottir climbed onto the pier. One man stayed with the boat, while the other three followed her into Port Douglas. Not much to the place. Several sturdy houses, a general store, a hotel with a pub, and a small church that had seen the bad end of too many storms. She knew that the drunkard explorer, Alexander King, had discovered the legendary temple, then gone mad. Their agents had been able to gather that much before the colonial inspectors handed King over to the British to be transported back to England in shackles. His insanity could be the result of jungle fever, or confirmation of the powerful artifact rumoured to be hidden on the temple site. The fact that Mr. Socrates was following the map meant it was likely more than a rumour. She deduced that King would have looked for his guides at the pub first, and that was where he would have hired Fred Land. Once Land had stolen the map from him, King would have had to rely on a different source of information. Miss Hakandottir walked past the pub to the edge of town, where the houses became shacks and the skin tone of the inhabitants was darker. An Indian man, cutting a log with an axe, paused to watch her pass. Chinese children chasing stray chickens pulled up short and stepped out of her way. Desperation and poverty were always useful. A withered Chinese woman sat outside one of the shacks, stirring a pot of boiling cabbage. Her grey, stringy hair fell loose upon her shoulders, and her clothing was a patchwork of rags. Miss Hakandottir stopped in front of her. The woman didn't look up. "A white man hired guides or porters from here a year ago," Miss Hakandottir said in perfect Cantonese. She had learned it during her pirating days in Hong Kong. "They went into the jungle together. Are any of those men still here?" The old woman looked up, one eye milky with cataract. With her good eye, she examined Miss Hakandottir for several seconds.
"I have no teeth."
"A pity," Miss Hakandottir replied.
"I want teeth," she said.
Miss Hakandottir reached into her pocket and placed a silver coin in the woman's outstretched hand.
"This will be enough to buy wooden teeth."
"Yes, yes," the woman said.
She pointed farther down the lane.
"In the Red Hut is a bad luck man who went with the white man into the jungle. His name is Zedong." "May you eat well," Miss Hakandottir said, and she stepped past the woman.
A dog growled, then fled as she approached the Red Hut, the burly soldiers at her back. She knocked. No answer. She pulled open the door, releasing a thick cloud of opium smoke. Three men were crouched around a patch of bare earth, placing mahjong tiles. At the sight of her, they stopped playing.
"I'm looking for Zedong,"
Miss Hakandottir said.
"That's me."
A middle-aged man looked up at her. His thin, dark hair was cut short. His eyes were pinched with lack of sleep.
"Did you guide Alexander King into the jungle?"
she asked.
"I no longer guide."
He went back to arranging the tiles.
"That's not what I asked."
She stepped in and kicked aside the tiles.
"Your game is done. I asked you a question."
"Go away,"
Zedong said as he stood. He nodded at one companion, who drew a knife from his belt. The other stood holding an axe handle as a club.
"We no longer traffic with foreigners. They are mad."
The soldiers behind Miss Hakandottir didn't flinch or reach for their own weapons.
"You will traffic with me," she said calmly.
With her gloved hand, she grabbed the knife blade by the sharp edge and snapped it in two, then kicked the man's knee so hard he collapsed in pain. The second man swung his club and she deflected the blow, then crushed the man's solar plexus. Both men writhed on the ground between her and Zedong.
"Please come with us," she said kindly. "We will take care of you and you will give us directions."
Zedong dropped the tile he was holding.
"You do make a compelling offer," he said. "Besides, I was losing the game."
Miss Heckendottir laughed. At least he had a sense of humor. That would keep him alive longer. She turned, not bothering to see if he followed her out of the hut.